Starting from Nun Dalet Amud Aleph at the top, Hanodir Min HaYerek, or HaYarak. If you're Nodir from vegetables, Mutar Bidluim. Okay, gourd is not considered a vegetable. They claim it's considered a fruit. There's a whole confusion among the commentaries about why dafka is considered a fruit. Some people say because it can't be eaten raw. Some people make this distinction between things that are seeds, where like the chamesha mine dagan, right, where you actually eat the seed and not what grows from it, right, like the wheat and all that, and versus vegetables, which is what you plant and you dafka don't eat the seed, right? And there's a distinction made there. It's unclear exactly what the issue is 100% here. But the point is that Tulu'im is not generally considered in the category of Yerakot. For Rabbi Akiva, Oser. Rabbi Akiva forbids. I was thinking about, you know, tomatoes. Some say tomatoes are fruit, right? But everybody calls it a vegetable. So, you know, there's things like that. Okay. Rabbi Akiva forbids it. He says, no, Tulu'im is included. If you said, on Noder Min HaYerak, it would include Tulu'im. We'll see why in a minute. Amrula Rabbi Akiva, v'halo omer adam l'shlucho. Here, this will disprove you, Rabbi Akiva. If somebody says to a shaliach, kach li yerek, go get a vegetable from the shuk, v'hu, and he comes back and says to the guy who sent him, hu omer lo matzati ela d'lu'im, I only found d'lu'im, I didn't find yerakot. So doesn't that prove that d'lu'im are not yerakot? So what does Rabbi Akiva say very smartly back? Amar lahem, ken hadavar. Oshema omer hu lo matzati ela kitnit, ela shadluim bichlal yerek, v'kitnit eno bichlal yerek. He says, if they're coming back and they're saying, we didn't find a vegetable, but we found dluim, they didn't come back and say, we didn't find a vegetable, but we found kitnit, because clearly kitnit is not you would never call kitnit a vegetable, so the fact they came back and said, I didn't find anything except for this, it's true it's not generally considered yerek, but it would be a good substitute for a yerek. And a normal substitute. So therefore, you dafka prove the point that a dlu'im would be considered bichlal yerek. We'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara. Va'asur, here's another one that's considered. Now, this is an interesting one because this pul hamitzri, asur b'pul hamitzri, which is a cow pea. Okay, if you have the Koran, which I see no one here has, there's a picture here. I have it here. I'll show you a picture of it. Okay, there's. Right, it's called cowpea, yeah. Cowpea, these are the beans. Apparently, they say that nobody really eats them much. It's usually used for animal fodder. And this is the flour it comes from. You can look at it. That depends on whether it's lach or yavesh. Okay, if it's lach, then it's considered a vegetable. But if it's mutar b'yavesh, it's already more, once it's dried, it's more like a seed, like the kitnit, which is not considered part of the vegetable category. Hanodir min hayarak, okay, the Gemara starts now. Vaha, so now they're going to comment on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it's usr. So they say, vaha min yarak nadar, and it's not a yarek. So how could you say that it's asur? Amar ula be'omer yarkei kedera alai. Okay, it's when he said yarkei kedera. And once he says yarkei kedera, now this might go along better with the interpretation that it's, if it's something that can't be eaten raw, right, then it's already not a vegetable. So if he says yarkei kedera, that means ones that are cooked. And therefore, the gourd would already go back into the category because it's something that can be eaten cooked. So then they say no, but if he says yarkei kedera, like v'dilma, maybe what he meant when he said yarkei kedera, yerek ha'ne'echal b'kedera ka'amar. There's vegetables that people put into their kedera, like onions and garlic, to flavor things. And maybe when he said yarkei kedera, since yerakot generally don't need to be cooked, what he meant was vegetables that you would throw into a kedera with other foods to give them flavor. And then what would he mean? Not any vegetable. He would only mean onions and garlic and things like that. So saying yarkei kedera wouldn't necessarily help you. So then they say, no, maybe the Mishnah is talking about ba'omer yerek hamitbashel b'kedera alai. Okay? He means a yerek that can be cooked in a kedera, in which case it would include all vegetables and it would also include this gourd. Okay, so that was just a way to say how could Rabbi Akiva have ostered it? And in order to do that, they basically say that the Mishnah is referring to a particular case where he said yerek hamitbashel b'kedera. And then there would be this machloket, because he would say that's a yerek, that would include the gourd, and the other Tanakama would say it doesn't. Now the Gemara says, okay, but my kambi palge, what's the root of their machloket? Rabbanan savre kol milta ditzarich shlicha limluche alea lav minehu. Rabbi Akiva savar kol milta dimimlach shlicha alea minehu. So now, this is what their machloket is, exactly the way the story went, right? The discussion went in the Mishnah, which is, if it's something that a shaliach would need to ask, right? If you say, send me to buy you a coat, and then I come back and I say, listen, I didn't find, but I found this, Chachamim already say that clearly that means that it wasn't included in your coat, otherwise I would have just bought it. So if I needed to consult with the guy, the guy who sent me, then that wouldn't be considered a yerek. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, if I would consult with the guy who sent me and Dafka raised the issue of that item, I would think that that item could be a substitution, then that would be included in the term Yerek. You can see how complicated this is, right? In terms of just everything people say and what does he mean, and it's so complicated, you know, how you understand it and what it includes and what it doesn't. Yeah. Do you want to sit here? You want to sit down? Okay. Amar Abaye, Moder Rabbi Akiva linya malkot she'eno loke. Comes Abaye, and what does he say? The Rabbi Akiva agrees that when it comes to malko, while he says it's asur, right? If you said hanod yamina yarek and you eat tulu'im would be asur. But what do we say? In terms of malko, you wouldn't get malko for it. Okay? In other words, agidekach, right? He's machmir, but being machmir means it's a suffix, really, and you don't get the punishment, or we're not going to be as stringent about it. Okay, now we're going to compare this to a Mishnah in Me'ilah. What did we see here? The determining factor is the shaliach, right? Someone having sent a shaliach, and whether, so if the shaliach has to ask, then what's implied, right? That there's a machloket about whether it's included or not. So now we're going to see a different issue about the shaliach. Tanan hatam. We actually learned this in the past. Hashaliach she'asa shlichuto ba'al abayim ma'al. Okay, this came up in Ketubot and in Chagiga, actually. A shaliach, if you remember what me'ilah is when you accidentally use something that was hekdesh. You didn't know it was hekdesh. Okay, or, you know, there was some confusion here. You didn't know it was shogeg. You use something that was hekdesh, that's called me'ilah. You have to bring an asha me'ilot. You have to pay a chomesh more. So now, the shaliach, what if a shaliach does the shlichut of the balabayit, and he, in doing so, he's mo'el. He uses something that was hekdesh, but the balabayit told him to do it. Right? Generally, we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, and the shliach's responsible. But here, it was all shogeg. And, you know, so who's responsible for having done the me'ilah? So, right, ein shliach l'dvar avera all works on the concept that it's not shogeg. The point is, if someone tells you to jump off the top of the Empire State Building, and you do it, and you say, well, he told me, right, you have your own brain, you're supposed to use it, and you're supposed to figure it out. Now, in this case, nobody knew what the situation was, right? Nobody knew that it was hektish. So, ha-shaliach she'asa shlichuto, ba'al abayit ma'al. Okay, if you send your shaliach to do something, and it turns out it was me'ila, so the ba'al abayit's responsible. Lo asa shlichuto shaliach ma'al. But if shaliach changed something, and he did something on his own that the ba'al abayit didn't tell him, or did it a little differently than the ba'al abayit did, then already it becomes his responsibility. So now, man tana, who's the tana of this Mishnah? Amar Rav Chisda matnitin de lo ka Rabbi Akiva, must not be like Rabbi Akiva, ditnan, ketzad, because what does it say there? Ketzad, amar lo tein basar lo orchim, v'natan lahem kaved. What kind of shinoi does it mention there? If you say, give basar to the orchim, and then he gives them kaved, and it turns out the basar was hekdesh, I'm sorry, the kaved was hekdesh, or tein kaved, v'natan lahem basar, hashaliach ma'al, since he changed, and he switched kaved for basar, liver for meat, that's considered me'ila. V'i Rabbi Akiva, ha'amar Rabbi Akiva, kol milta demim lachale shaliach, minehu. And therefore, what should it be? According to Rabbi Akiva's logic, if you have to ask the ba'al abayit, right, it's still considered the same, right? If you're going to say, oh, listen, we don't have meat, we have liver, right? Then what do we say? That the liver is considered the same as meat. Well, if liver is considered the same as meat, then there's no change here. The guy didn't change anything in theory, according to Rabbi Akiva's logic. So therefore, lim'ol balabayit below lim'ol shaliach. It should be the balabayit's responsibility here, because that shouldn't be considered a change, because it's basically the same category. So Amar Abaye. So that's Rav Chista's opinion. Rav Chista says the Mishnah must not be like Rabbi Akiva, it must match Tana Kama. Amar Abaye, afilu tema Rabbi Akiva, mi lo moda Rabbi Akiva de tzarech im luche. Wouldn't Rabbi Akiva, this is very smart what Abaye says. Abaye says, what happened in this case of Me'ilah? The Balabayit said to serve meat, and he served liver. So on the one hand, you say, well, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's still, since it's something he could have asked he would have asked the Balabayit about, can we switch meat for liver for meat? Therefore, it should be considered the same category, and it shouldn't have been considered that he changed anything. But what do they say? Rabbi Akiva would say that in this case, the guy should have asked the Balabayit. You didn't see here where he said to the Balabayit, can I switch it? And since he didn't ask his permission, therefore, it's considered his responsibility. So while it is considered the same mean when it comes to our issue, when it comes to Me'ilah, the Shaliach had a responsibility before he served the Orchim to just check with the Balabayit that it was okay that he switched. And since he didn't check that it was okay that he switched, and just because it's considered the same mean, meat, liver, doesn't mean that the Shaliach isn't responsible to go check with the Balabayit. Is it okay if I serve them this instead of that? And therefore, Rabbi Akiva would be Moda in this case that it's still the Shaliach who gets the Me'ilah Avera because he changed without checking.
But they brought it here as an example of categorization. In other words, do you differentiate? Like, do you have to expand a category?
Mm-hmm.
Like, meat. Like, you can argue that he didn't have to. He could have picked any kind of meat he wanted because he didn't specify steak or chicken.
He said meat. So you're saying if he said serve meat and they serve liver, it's a type of meat and he shouldn't have needed to check.
Right, but that's not why they're bringing
Well, also the case with liver and then they serve meat. Clearly meat didn't mean the whole general category of meat. He wanted something specific and they served something else. Now, yes, it's the same general category, but he did say something specific and they served something different.
The point they're bringing here, though, is how do you categorize food?
Exactly. So, yes, it's clear it's all in the same category. Meat has a general thing which includes liver. But if he said a specific type and the guy served a different type, he should have at least had the decency to ask. And since he didn't and he changed on his own, then the Me'ilah responsibility goes to him. Because that's considered a change.
I'm so caught up on the part where if you're delegating somebody to serve your guests, it suggests to me that it's an ongoing thing and you don't want to be asked all the time. If you've got a relationship where this person knows what he's doing, definitely the opposite. He shouldn't have to ask all the time. You already have this situation where the guy knows, it could be, your cook or something.
Okay, so let's take that and jump to our situation. What's our situation? The question is, not did he do something wrong, but whose responsibility is it that in the end he served meat that was me'ila meat, and that there was hektesh meat? Because in the end, there was an avera here. So the question is, on whose head is that? So while it might be okay for him... But the point is that since the Balabayit said meat and this guy took kaved, or let's take the kaved part because we call meat general. Let's say he said serve liver and they serve meat. The guy could say, well, I meant liver and I didn't mean meat and the meat was hektesh and you should have known. In other words, it's not my fault that you didn't do that. And again, it's the issue of who does the me'ila issue fall upon? Not did he do something necessarily. Was it so wrong that he didn't check with him? I don't know if it's so wrong, but again, any sort of change would then, as you have to, what we really have to do is look more in depth into Me'ilah and what creates the chi of Me'ilah really, and what kind of change are we talking about. And I think the point in the end of what Abaye is saying is the change in each situation is not comparable. Like what causes the chi of Me'ilah is not the same as what's included in the Lashon of a Neder that somebody would make, that they're not exactly a fair comparison. Okay, one last line about this. Itmar Shmata Kameja Rava. This issue came up before Rava, and he heard Abaye's explanation. Amar Lahon Shapir Amar Nachmani. And he said, nice going. Okay, I like what you said, which is interesting why Rava and Abaye are always arguing. Nachmani is Abaye. He's called Nachmani because he's based on his father. His uncle, Rava Bar Nachmani, brought him up. So his father was obviously also from the Nachmani family, and they called him Nachmani. It comes up a bunch of times that he's called Nachmani. Okay, Mantala de Pali, right? It's like when friends call people by their last names, like you see Rava calling him Nachmani. Mantana de Pali Galei to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, who's now, they want to know who's the author of our Mishnah, who's the Tanna Kamma, who disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel here. It must be Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Why? Detanya, hanodir min habasar. Here we're going to have it now. Okay, this goes back to what you were saying, Shari, about when you say meat. What did you mean when you said meat, right? Like nowadays, if you say we're eating meat, what do you mean? You could be eating chicken. You could be eating chopped meat. You could be eating, you know, steak. Could mean a bunch of different things. It could be, right, liver. Could be all different parts of meat, the heart, the this. So now we're going to see the machloket about this. Hanodir min habasar, asur b'chol minei basar, v'asur b'rosh, b'raglayim, b'kaneh, b'kaved, b'lev, b'ofot. Okay? You're asur in all those things. Umutar, okay, also of, right, and all the parts. Umutar b'basar dagim b'chagavim. Okay, grasshoppers and fish are not included. Okay. Which makes sense according to our interpretations also. Rashban gomer hanodir min habasar asur b'chol minei basar umutar b'rosh b'raglayim b'kaneh b'kaved b'lev b'ofot. Okay, so he says it's just meat, but the head and the legs and the esophagus and the liver and the heart and ofot, chicken, ve'ein tzarich lomar basar v'chagavim, and obviously that is all not included. V'chein haya Rashba gomer kirbayim lav basar. Okay, so Rashbag was also known to say the innards, the inner part of the meat, is not really meat, and anyone who eats them is not a human being, basically. Okay, so now we're going to explain this for a minute, which in a very unclear line. Okay, so some people explain. I'm just going to explain it one way, which is that anyone who eats this, if they would buy this instead of buying meat, they're not human beings. Like, who would, in their right mind, buy this stuff instead of buying meat? Okay, and he basically didn't think that that part was actually meat. But what do you see here? That he holds like Tanna Kamma, which is that any tachlif that's not really a good tachlif doesn't really count as part of it. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Maishna basar of Tanna Kamma da asir? What's the reason for of? Because da'avid shlicha demim lechalei. So, in other words, what's the issue with oaf? Why would oaf be considered, according to the Tanna Kamma here, right, not the Tanna Kamma in our Mishnah, right? The Tanna Kamma here that argues with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which is what makes oaf part of basar? Because if you didn't have meat, you would go buy chicken, right? And the shaliach would say, listen, there was no meat in the shuk, but there is chicken. But demim lechalei basar. But dagim nami avid shlicha di lo mishkach bisbasar mim lachalei. In other words, damar I lo mishkach nabisra aite dagim vilitzeru. So he's saying, right, we all say, oh, right, meat includes, that's why I asked you before, meat includes, everyone agreed it would include chicken. But it doesn't include fish. But now they're saying, according to this logic, if the shlech went to the shuk and there was absolutely no meat, he would come back and say, listen, there's no meat and there's no chicken, but there is fish. So it should also be included, according to this opinion, right? It should also be aser, should be included in the word. So Amar Abaye, kigon shehikiz dam, dilo achil dagim. It's talking about, again, we have to do a new kimta here. The bride is talking about someone who was making dam, right? They did bloodletting. It was the way they would cure people with diseases. They would let out a lot of blood. And after you make his dam, we learned this before, there were all sorts of things you're not allowed to do after you bloodlet. So people wouldn't eat dagim. Okay, so one of the things they wouldn't eat tagim. So because they wouldn't eat tagim, that's why tagim wasn't included. Because it's not the kind of thing that the shalech would come back and say, oh, listen, there was no meat. How about fish? Because he knows after bloodletting, you're not going to want to eat fish. So right again, it puts the bride in a very particular situation. It was only after hakazat dam. It's very strange. But then they say, ihachi afilu afo nami lo achil. But not only that, if that, you're going to say that that's the reason of this bride. Well, it wasn't only that they didn't eat fish. They also didn't eat chicken. How do we know? Damar Shmuel, de mesuchar v'achil basar, de abisra de tzafra, parech labe kitzafra. Okay, anyone who would bloodlet and ate chicken, he would fly around like a chicken or something like that, right? Like it wasn't good for him, basically. V'tanya, and here's another source that shows it. Eimikizin lo al dagim v'lo al afo v'lo al basar meliach. Okay, these were three things that people would need after hakasatam. Vitanya, here's another one. Hikizdam lo yochal, lo chalav, velo gvina, velo beitzim, velo shechlaim. That was kress. We've seen that a bunch of times. Velo ofot, velo basar maliach. Okay, so here you see three sources that gave lists of all these things people would need after bloodletting, and each one has a bit of a different list, but ofot is clearly on all three of them. So what do they say? No, kashane ofot, efshar yidei shlika. If you boil them a lot, okay, remember we saw shlika, it wasn't clear whether you boil it very little or you boil it a ton, but here most of them seem to interpret that we're talking about if you boiled it a lot, then you could eat chicken after bloodletting, and therefore there is a case where chicken could be eaten after bloodletting, and therefore it's fine. Abayamar, kigon, here's a different option, kigon dekaiven le'ene, dedagim kashim le'enayim. It would be a case where his eyes were bothering him, not bloodletting, but it was his eyes were bothering him, and dagim are bad for the eyes, and that's why dagim wasn't listed as an option. But then they say, no, ihachi, achil dagim. That doesn't make any sense. You would dafka eat fish. Here you see, right? This sounds like nowadays, oh, if you have this problem, go eat that. And then someone else says, no, dafka, don't eat that. Stay away from that food. Eat some other food. So in those days, also, a lot of difference of opinions about which foods were healthy for which situations. So ihachi, achil dagim. How do we know? Da'amar Shmuel, Nun Samach Ayin. It's like a mnemonic device. Just remember, Nun Samach Ayin. What is Nun Samach Ayin? Nuna Sama Le'enayim. Nuna is a type of fish. Is a drug for the Enayim. Okay? Hu Sof Uchla. Hu Sof Uchla. All right. So then, that was a question on Abaye. And then the answer, no, when Shmuel said that Dagim Refu'a Le'enayim, he was talking about at the end of, like, when you're at the end of the problem with your eyes. But in the beginning, if you start to have an eye problem, then, right, it all depends on at what stage of the problem you're at. When it's early stages, then dagim are bad. When it's the end stages of the eye problem, then it's good. So here you see different opinions about what foods to eat when and whether, you know, whether something could be, depending on also at what stage of the disease you are, whether something is good or bad. But in the end, what do we have here? That we were trying to figure out why fish was included, right, was not included and chicken would be. And in order to explain that, they really had to, since all of them are possible tachlifim, it's interesting, they don't go by what how we generally speak about fish and meat all being meat, you know, fish being, you know, more parv and chicken being meat. But more in terms of what you would switch, because that's our whole categorization here. Would someone offer this as an alternative? And once that, dagim really should be included. And the only way they can explain it is to say there must be some unique case where the guy's sick with something and therefore he wouldn't be eating fish, which is a very tough explanation. You wonder why they didn't go more with, you know, the way we generally use it. Maybe they didn't in those days. You know, there's a whole issue about whether chicken, you have to wait after milk and meat, you know, and whether it's considered in the meat category or not. There was a machloket among the Tanaim about whether it's considered like meat or not. So I'm curious whether, in the time of the Gemara, it's unclear how they treated it entirely and how, or really this is Tanaitic sources. So it could be it wasn't as clear cut, and because of that, they didn't want to go the way I'm suggesting.